everybody. Welcome to an encore presentation of episode 113, Tater Tots and Turkey a la King, the Gen X School Lunch. I am so excited to revisit this one, and I'm actually going to read the description that we wrote because it's so funny. I don't know which one of us wrote this, but whoever did it, like, let's pat ourselves on the back because this is funny.
It was you.
Yeah, it was me.
Okay, good for me. Woohoo!
Yes.
In today's episode, we'll be saving the one constant in everybody's life from ages 5 to 18, that daily meal taken at long tables in basement cafeterias and converted gyms, the school lunch. Not Michelle Obama's school lunch or the farm-to-table, locally sourced, fully compostable school lunch of the new millennium. More like the grease-filled pepperoni cups on your rectangle pizza school lunch that was the jewel of Gen X schools across the nation. I mean, how freakishly different could it be from today?
I know. You guys, I live near a high school, and when I drive past around lunchtime, there's food trucks outside.
What?
Oh, my gosh. And one of them is like burgers and, you know, chicken sandwiches and tacos. But I got to tell you, I existed. We had a snack bar when I was in high school in Scottsdale. And I existed probably every day for 6 months of my sophomore year on a Little Debbie Nutty Bar and an orange slushy. That was my lunch.
That's nutrition right there. I'm sure I say this in the episode, but most of the time I didn't even eat lunch. And then I had practice after school. So I went from like 6:30. I literally went to school at 6:50 in the morning. Like, I arrived there at 6:50. I would go from 6:30 in the morning until 5:30 at night without eating lunch. If I did eat lunch, it would be a chocolate shake and French fries.
Did you dip the French fries?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes. Yeah. You got to dip them. You got to dip the fries. That's why you buy the two together.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Or like we just talked about Cameron Crowe when he was writing Fast Times. When he went back to high school. Do you think that no, that I wasn't 17?
I don't know. Well, maybe if you wore a hat and some big glasses.
Yeah. A hoodie, and your Lululemon.
Yeah. And was carrying your Stanley and all that, you'd be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to go get all of those things.
The other reason we're excited to revisit this one is because our guest on the episode has raised her profile significantly since we recorded this. You guys, she was in the process of exploding when we talked to her, but now she is on a whole different level. Mm-hmm. We're talking, I have to take a breath here. I'm so excited for her. You guys, we're talking the Today Show, people. Okay. Our guest was Erica Wides. Erica started on social media giving cooking tips from her little tiny home kitchen in Brooklyn. And then one day, her video about poaching an egg in the microwave, you guys, that went viral. And now she does cooking segments on the freaking Today Show. Like,
it's
Al
the American
Roker.
Story.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Al Roker has sampled her food. She's like riffed with those guys. I just love it. And she's so good at that. I've got to say, that's one of her gifts. She's so, you know, witty and off the cuff.
She's so cute and funny on the Today
she
Show.
She fits but in you guys, with them so well.
I hate how they rush her. Don't you hate
that? I agree.
So Erica has over 1 million followers on Instagram and TikTok.
All because
of that poached egg.
God bless. Where is our poached egg, people?
I've watched it to help me make a better poached egg. I'll be honest.
Oh, it works. It works. Yeah. Yeah. I think we do talk about that in one of our episodes. I don't know if it's this one with Erica or the other one with Erica. And to be fair, yes, the poached egg is what greased the wheels, but people are flocking to her because she's so good at what she does.
She's
super funny and personable and relatable.
And nothing is complicated. I want to say that to all the non-chef cookie people out there, and I'm raising my hand. She makes everything so simple, and she doesn't make you feel
You're right. I mean, it's things like how to chop an onion the right way or how to, you know, best get the pit out of your avocado. And you guys, like us, Erica is a solid Gen Xer. And this episode was actually her idea. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear in this episode that she's not only a chef, she's like a food historian. I guarantee you she knows more about school lunches in the 70s than anyone you know. Mm-hmm. It's actually really fascinating. Erica is also a really good friend to us. We've become, like we always say, that's one the biggest gift we've all gotten from this podcast is the friends we've made along the way. And Erica is definitely in that group. We've visited her in Brooklyn and even filmed a quick cooking segment with her for one of our social media posts. And if you check our YouTube page, you'll see it. We cooked tofu And it was mind blowing, actually.
It was so good. And it was
easy. Good.
Yes. I don't know what to do with tofu. I have no idea. And I was standing in that tiny kitchen going, oh my God, I can make tofu.
It was pretty good. Yeah. So it's been really fun for us to watch her success. We're all subscribers to her Substack, where she shares not just cooking videos, but also really personal insights into her life and the state of the world. She's a really good writer.
Do you guys remember
when she talked about the husband who was cheating on his wife and everyone thought they were the perfect couple?
Yes. It's like, she's like sharing news of her neighborhood. It's like a soap opera. And I was like, oh my God, what did he do? And this is in her Substack newsletter.
No, it's a very entertaining read always.
It really is.
And now, as if the woman is not busy enough, she's just launched a YouTube channel showcasing her cooking videos. I was last week years old when I learned how to use a knife the right way, you guys.
That's one of my favorite things that she does is those knife tips.
I know this sounds crazy, but that knife tips thing is very important to me because I'm only 5 feet tall. And to chop something on a board, I try to tell this to Mike. He's like, Kristen, it's not harder for you than it is for me. Yes, it is. I have to put my body in a different way. Erica is also 5 feet tall. So I can see how she's doing it to do it more efficiently. It's crazy. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I bet there's a whole like physics thing about it and like force and I don't know, fulcrums and all that kind of stuff.
The physicality of it?
Yeah. Totally. Fulcrums.
Well, I don't know. Isn't that like?
That's physics. Yeah. Fulcrum.
And
levers.
I think that has to do with the way you do a knife. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that a simple tool?
And I am no cook, you guys, but these are the kinds of videos, just like Carolyn. I do not do the cooking in my house at all, but these are the kind of videos that make me think I can do it.
Yes. And sometimes we can. I think. And it's entertaining. It's not like you're watching some dry person just tell you, okay, pull out the knife, do this. Yeah.
They're very quick and very accessible. She made me want to roast a cabbage. I'm not even kidding. And she's like, this is how she does it. She's not elitist at all about her cooking skills. She's like, let's see what I have in my fridge. Oh God, look, there's this cabbage in the back of the fridge. What am I going to do? She literally comes up with a video by digging through her fridge. And it was so easy. She's like, chop, oil, seasoning, oven. I'm like, God, I can do that. And it's like a real side dish that's healthy for me. And it's amazing. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, we love her.
Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more. There's always more, Erica. Erica has also achieved her bucket list item of leading people on these food-centric trips around the world. I really hope to do this one day. She's like Rick Steves if Rick Steves were a foodie. She'll take you and like 10 or 20 other hungry people on a guided adventure highlighting all of the history, the culture, and the food that these places have to offer. She really has so much knowledge in her head. She can tell you about the history of like the Acropolis or something. You're like, how do you remember that? So she's taken people to Spain and Portugal and Greece. And today I got an email from her saying she's going to Italy today. And then next she's going to Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, South Korea, and Japan. And Ireland.
I would like to go to Ireland.
Oh, you'll get to eat cabbage.
Yes, that's probably where she got all the cabbage information.
Ireland.
No, they look super fun. I'm not a foodie at all, but I guarantee if I went on one of these trips with Erica, I would broaden my taste buds.
Yes.
Because I'm not scared to try new food. I just am like, I'm not a fan of, you know, cabbage and potatoes and in Ireland. But if I was with Erica, I would try it.
Well, she makes it accessible. I feel that's kind of her gift is that she's not talking above my head saying, then you blanch this and you do that. I don't even know what's blanching.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like
these trips would be very accessible to people who have not traveled out of the country very much. Because that can be very intimidating. You don't know the language, you don't know the transportation. Erica does all of that for you, and she will make you eat really well too.
Yes.
That's true.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. And you learn stuff. I mean, you come back smarter and maybe a couple pounds heavier, but that's okay because you walk a lot, I'm sure, on these trips.
Yes.
So very, very fun. I would love to do that one day. Well, as you can tell, we are so honored to know Erica and to watch her success. She's such a good friend to the PCPS. She truly is one of us, you guys. Mm-hmm. And we really think you would enjoy having a little more Erica in your life. We'll put all of her information in our show notes, including the poached egg video, her social media, her Substack, her YouTube channel, and links to those travel adventures. Because after listening to this episode, you'll see why the Today Show keeps calling her back. With that, let's travel back in time to experience the culinary heights of school lunch in the 70s and 80s. Please enjoy this encore presentation of Tater Tots and Turkey a la King, the Gen X school lunch. I gotta say, the next most dreaded experience in the school cafeteria has to do with carrying that tray. And right now my stomach hurts. Mm-hmm. God forbid you dropped it or someone dropped the tray. God, I mean, no. I think this is when I experienced vicarious embarrassment for the first time. You know, everyone would applaud. Yeah. I never applauded. I want to go on the record saying I never applauded. Even now, I could just be sick to my stomach.
Hello world is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the Big Wheel generation who have lots of uses for pennies, like buying your milk at school.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving the one constant in everybody's life from ages 5 to 18. That would be the daily meal taken at long tables in basement cafeterias and converted gyms, the school lunch.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Oh, hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders. Navy beans, navy beans, navy beans, navy beans. Hoagies and grinders, hoagies and grinders. Navy beans, meatloaf sandwich. Sloppy dough, stop it, sloppy dough, yeah. Sloppy dough, stop it, sloppy dough, yeah.
Today, I think we've stumbled upon what might be the number one most universal thing amongst Gen Xers. Because if you went to school, which we all did, by law, you have experience with school lunch. Whether you bought or brought your lunch, you had to eat in the middle of the day. And that singular act created memories that came flooding in. When we posted a simple question about school lunch on our social media, we came very close to breaking the internet. And we have to give credit where credit is due, because today's topic comes courtesy of one of our listeners slash followers, who was also a former guest on the show when we talked about the crazy food fads of the Gen X era. So naturally, when she sent us this idea, we invited her back on the show. Today, our special guest is actor, comedian, and chef Erica Wides, the host of Funny People Making Food on YouTube and Instagram. Erica, welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society.
Thank you, friends. Woo! Oh my God, can you hear the sirens in the background?
Yeah. Oh, hello, New York City.
Exactly. That's so exciting. We've got some atmosphere going.
So you're trying to sleep.
Can you tell us, Erica, tell us a little bit about Funny People Making Food.
So Funny People Making Food is, so it was a web series that I created a few years ago on YouTube. It was sort of inspired by Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld's Netflix series, because I love food and I love comedy, and I'm also like a commercial actor. And what I wanted to do was kind of create a little series where I went into the homes of comedians and cooked with them and talked with them and joked around with them. And what I really wanted to kind of get at was like the heart of whether their food influenced their comedy, like if their food life, like childhood food life and experience influenced their comedy or not at all. And so we did like six complete episodes of that. They're on YouTube. But those are very long and very expensive to produce. So then what I decided a few months ago was to just basically chop those up and put them on Instagram in little tiny clips. And then we ran out of material. So then I just started doing food content on Instagram. So anyway, but both accounts are Funny People Making Food and on TikTok also. But the original OG six episodes are on YouTube, and you should all go watch them and subscribe and comment and like.
They're super funny. They're very fun. And there's one thing in particular where I just found this out, because this is one thing that changed my life. And apparently it changed a lot of people's lives, because when they saw it, your Instagram just blew up. And it was how to poach an egg in the microwave.
Microwave. Yeah. Which is something I've been doing for years. And I was just sort of like, okay, what are we going to do for today's clip? And I did the egg in the microwave. And at that point I had about 1500 followers, and within like 2 weeks I was at 100,000, and now I'm at almost 200,000, and that video got 33 million views.
Come on.
Like, so more than the population of Canada.
Oh yeah.
Every Canadian.
Wow. I'm so happy to have you here today, because I think you're going to chime in with some really interesting stuff. So let's launch into the actual school lunch. I want to start with the lunch lady. The lunch lady is a really prominent figure. Like, the lunch lady is as big as the school principal in terms of how it's burned in your brain. In my school, it was Verna. When you were all done, you could bring your tray and show Verna that you had eaten all of your lunch. And then she would take out a piece of white bread and she would dig into a giant tub of peanut butter and give you peanut butter bread.
What? That's the most random thing I've ever heard in my life.
And why is a really good question.
But why didn't she like reach into a bag and give you like an ice cream sandwich or a ho-ho?
Peanut butter bread. I'm guessing because there was excess bread and excess peanut butter.
Wait.
It was like a Home Depot orange bucket full of peanut butter.
Wait a minute. So you ate your lunch and then you got a peanut butter sandwich as like a bonus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a treat for some reason. And it felt like brainwashing
to the overweight children in the 70s.
I was 100%. I would have been even fatter.
And you had to eat. I mean, it's so old school. You had to eat all of your food and then you'd get more food.
Yeah, I'm thinking a sticker, maybe a pencil eraser, like one of those little pencil erasers with the wobbly legs and the arms or something.
Wow. That's insane. I think we can just end the show on that.
There you go, Verna. Thank you, Verna. A tribute to Verna. I'm going to describe Verna for you, and I'm sure this is what your lunch lady was too. Of course, you have to have a uniform. How can you serve food not wearing a uniform? Right. And so she looks like a waitress from Alice, right? And then, and she's like shaped like an apple, and she's got a hairnet on.
The hairnet, for sure.
And she's probably 93 and a half years old. Now, if I asked, they'd probably say she was 43.
Yeah.
And I'd go, no. But she was ancient.
Yeah, we had more than one lunch lady. We had like an ensemble, and there was like the head lunch lady. Like, you remember her?
Very important.
She's the one you would bring the lunch count to in the, you know, in the morning, like when your teacher would say, how many are buying this? And you'd raise your hand, and then someone, the teacher's pet, probably lunch me, got to just march down, and the head Verna of our cafeteria, you would hand her the lunch count for the day. So
I've totally forgot that was a job. It was like the lights person, the person who ran the movie projector. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you say, this is something I'm very interested in, did you guys call it hot lunch and cold lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you give the hot lunch count to Verna.
But also, if you were the hot lunch count person in my school, your teacher gave you like their bag lunch to take to the teacher's lounge to put in the fridge for them.
Special.
And you'd go in and you'd like open the door and it would be like you were walking into like a burning coal mine, like with the smoke, like all the cigarette smoke.
Oh, so back in the 70s.
Open the door and it was like whoosh, like
yes.
Yeah.
But you could get in the teacher's lounge and put the bag in the fridge.
What
for
a treat.
Teacher.
That's very special.
And then we had aides who were like the lunch ladies in the cafeteria, but they were called aides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The lunch aide.
The aide. And we just called them aide.
Oh, like you called, like addressed them like that?
Be like, hey, aide.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible.
Very impersonal.
I remember having to keep our table clean. Like, that's the way you got dismissed to go from lunch. Like, the lunch aide would come by. Yes. And somebody always had to get that nasty bleach rag, like, from up where you dropped off your tray, wring it out, and then wipe your table down. And then you hopefully did it well enough that the aide would come and say, okay, you're dismissed.
Dismissed.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You just, Husker Dude me a little bit, Carolyn, because I have a thing where I can walk into a restaurant and we have to leave because it smells like a wet rag.
Yes,
yeah,
a wet
rag. Can't eat here. We have to leave. And now I'm realizing that's where it comes from.
And then your hands smell like it for the rest of the day. And
it's like mildew. Do you guys remember how much your lunch cost?
No.
70, I didn't buy it, so. 60 cents maybe?
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. My first one is 50 cents.
Yeah.
50, and you got a lunch ticket. So your 50 cents would buy you a lunch ticket. And I remember milk was 4 cents. Four
what?
Pennies.
Yeah.
Five. Were you in like Laura Ingalls time? Were you?
Yes, no, it was like five for white and six for chocolate.
Yeah.
It was more for chocolate.
It was more for chocolate. Okay. See, I'm thinking it was, but I can't be right because I bought chocolate milk. I took my lunch all the time, but I always bought chocolate milk and I can always remember having a coin. And I'm assuming it was quarter, but you're telling me it was probably a dime, right?
It was, or a nickel.
Maybe
a
it
nickel.
Depends on where in the country you are and how subsidized the milk was. I don't know. But I remember it being like a dime or a nickel, like 10
Someone
cents
check that for us.
I remember when it went from 4 cents to a nickel. And then you had to like, there was all of this adjustment you had to do from bringing 4 pennies. I had to scrounge up 4 pennies, but now I have to scrounge up a nickel. That's different. That's totally different. That's right.
I remember the lunch ticket thing being for like a whole month. I never got one because I only bought lunch occasionally. And then they, you know, Verna, our friend, she would be hole punching like the day. And so everybody would be digging out their ticket out of their pocket.
We just totally.
We had, you bought, like if you wanted to get 10 hot lunches, you bought 10 tickets, like at a carnival. We had carnival tickets for our school lunches.
Wow. Regional differences. It's so interesting.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Once high school came, then everything changes, right? Because now we have a la carte.
And open campus.
We were open campus.
We didn't have that. Mm-hmm. But so you guys got to leave?
Yeah.
We would go to the bagel store.
And was that, could you walk to that or did somebody have to have a car?
Walk. You'd have to walk through the woods. It would take a little while.
Through the
but
woods.
You could. Yeah.
To the little house on the prairie.
Yeah. In the snow.
Erica, that sounds like
uphill both
really like treacherous.
No, it was like big suburban Long Island. Like there was like a big, you know, playing field kind of lawn around the school. But then you could go out onto the road and walk to the bagel store. But it was a lot faster if you took the shortcut through the woods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd go out in the woods, you'd, you know, smoke a little weed. You'd walk to the bagel store.
Naturally.
Get your bagel.
Get 18 bagels.
And come back. Yeah. Or that was like when the McNugget was first launched, like in 83, 84. And they were 99 cents, I remember, for 6 McNuggets. And I ate a lot of McNuggets.
We were like, chicken at McDonald's?
Yeah. But yeah,
my high school was like a big prison. No windows, can't leave, all the doors locked. If there was a fire, I don't know what we would do. So I was all about the a la carte line. If I ate lunch, it was not uncommon for me not to eat breakfast and then not eat lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd have practice after school and go home at 5:30 for dinner.
Right.
So if I ate lunch, I would always get a chocolate shake and French fries.
Did you dip?
Because I was all about nutrition.
And then you dip the fries in the shake, right? Of course, yeah.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I went through a one Snickers bar for breakfast and lunch phase. That's now called eating, you know, disordered eating.
Disordered eating, yeah.
Back then I was like, no, it's okay. Yeah, no breakfast, one Snickers.
Hitting all the food groups.
I would go to the snack bar and buy an orange slushy and a Little Debbie nutty bar and go sit on the bleachers, like the baseball bleachers by myself and write letters to my friends back in Washington. How sad is
that? Oh God, that's sad.
I know. Maybe
Sandy
Carolyn in this part, could you put a sad violin over that story as I tell it?
Wow. That was definitely pre-Michelle Obama and the
visiting. Do we even have a la carte anymore?
Yeah.
It's too dangerous. Okay, one thing that Erica mentioned when she suggested this topic was junior high lunch table ostracism. And I swear, if you hadn't said that, I would never have come up with that as a topic of conversation. And yet that was very real. And so much so that I even wrote about it in my new book, World My Crush. Just excuse me for a second while I promote my book. But it's so funny because if you are going to write about middle schoolers, you have to have a lunchroom scene. A lot of your life takes place in the cafeteria. But I think it speaks to what you said, Erica, about lunchroom ostracism.
Well, I think your like entire adult life actually is just the middle school lunchroom playing itself out over and over again.
Oh, my God. You might be right.
You change status and you change positions throughout different phases of your life.
Yeah.
Like you never escape that.
Why do you think I went out to the baseball bleachers in high school? I mean, think about it, you guys. I was a new kid at this enormous high school. The last thing I was going to do as the new student was go into that cafeteria and have to find a place to sit. Thank goodness it was Scottsdale, Arizona, where it was, you know, I could eat outside the entire school year if I needed to.
It's like advertising that you have no friends.
Right. So, right?
But like holding a sign saying, I have no friends.
But to go sit on the bleachers, which were way behind the school, and have like a notebook out, it might have looked like I was doing some extra homework out there.
Yeah.
And the act of carrying a tray feels very vulnerable to me. When you don't have anyone to chit chat with and make you look nonchalant, walking through the cafeteria holding a tray just looks like, I don't know. Yeah. There's something very awkward about it.
Well, that scene plays out in, you know, lots of movies that we watched and TV shows. And I got to say, the next most dreaded experience in the school cafeteria has to do with carrying that tray. And right now my stomach hurts. Mm-hmm. God forbid you dropped it or someone dropped the tray.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I think this is when I experienced vicarious embarrassment for the first time. You know, everyone would applaud. Yeah. I never applauded. I want to go on the record saying I never applauded. I, even now, I could just be sick to my stomach when I think of that experience. You felt, I would assume, since I don't think I ever dropped a tray, because man, I got to tell you, I held onto those trays so hard when I walked.
She's very precarious.
Carolyn put super glue on her hands first.
Grandma steps, like granny steps, because I assumed if that was me and everyone was clapping and staring at me, it would be the most humiliating thing that could possibly ever happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're walking out of the little door where you pick up the food with that tray. And also, like, if you didn't have like a regular table with like a crew of friends, you'd have to stand there and like scan the room.
Oh God, that was the worst. And what if they didn't let you sit there, or like you went to go sit in an open spot and they said the dreaded, saved.
Yeah.
Saved for Mary or.
It's so universal. With the humiliation, because if you guys think about it, every single movie to this day, if they need to kind of hammer in that this is this kid is being humiliated or being bullied or something, they do a lunchroom scene. They write a lunchroom scene for it.
That's right.
That's where it almost always is.
That middle school lunchroom trauma for the rest of your life.
Think about that. That we're carrying that with us. Carolyn is carrying with her the fear of dropping her lunch tray.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what's now, though, like, you can sort of deal with like social isolation because you have your phone, right? So like sitting by yourself somewhere, you're just looking at your phone, you're engaged.
True.
But back then it was like, you know, maybe you had a book with you, but then people would be like teasing you for reading.
I think that's why I became a book nerd, because I had to hide in something. Mm-hmm. And that's all I had.
Yeah. Always.
We didn't have anything else to hide behind unless you were going to skip lunch.
What they should do is serve alcohol in middle school.
There you go.
That'll solve
all
the problems.
And as a former middle school teacher, I really would appreciate that, having drunk kids come back.
They should have cocktails
in my classroom.
I think we've sort of hit on why this exploded on Instagram the other day, why we got so many comments from people, because people have feelings about the cafeteria, whether it's the food or whether it's something social.
And it was like only, 30 minutes of your day, but it was like...
Or 17.
In high school, we had like 17 minutes. And I remember one year in high school, my lunch period was 10:45 in the morning.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Me too.
Like, what am I supposed
10:32.
Yeah.
So dumb.
So school lunches for us Gen Xers meant one of two things, either hot lunch, and we'll get to the items that you all listeners remember the most in just a bit, or for those of us who were picky eaters and who would have basically starved if forced to eat hot lunch every day, it meant lunch from home in a lunchbox. But school lunches weren't always like that. And Erica, you're more than a chef. You're also sort of a food historian. When did the school lunch as we know it come to be?
Okay, so I did a little research on this, of course, because, you know, I'm like you guys, love the research. You know, when the Depression hit, kids were coming to school really, really hungry, but also farmers were really suffering. And so state governments started implementing a school lunch program as a way to, A, get the kids fed, but also to support the farmers, to like buy up
that's interesting.
Food from local farmers, and also to just keep local people employed. And so there was serious problems with malnutrition. And so as a way to address that, more and more states implemented a universal school lunch. And then in 1946, Harry Truman signed it into law, nationwide law, that schools had to provide food in public schools. Also, interestingly, the school lunch standards, the nutritional standards, were created based on malnutrition and kids coming off the depression. And so they were very caloric back then, because often that was the only meal that kids were getting, you know, wow, solid meal. Yeah. And then leading up to World War II, they were trying to fatten up the boys for the draft, because a lot of boys back then wouldn't pass the army physical because they were too thin.
Wow.
Yeah. Now it's the opposite. The army can't get anybody who can do the, you know, 20 push-ups and isn't fat.
Yeah.
But back then, people were so skinny that the army said, you know, let's get these kids fattened up so we can get them in the draft and get them into the war. So, yeah.
And just to clarify, like the kids who are fat and can't do any push-ups, that's a function of poverty too.
That is, like, absolutely a function of poverty and of terrible food policy over the last 100 years. And that's a whole other show and story.
Right.
And
isn't that funny though? Like, would you have, looking back, would you have classified your school lunches as caloric?
Yes.
I mean, now I look at it and it's obvious, but at the time, I had no idea.
The amount of, butter they used to slather on stuff, and it was super caloric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my mom always, like, because I was this fat, you know, little kid, she always blamed it on school lunches. She was like, well, that's because you always wanted to buy lunch, and I let you eat those lunches, and so you were fat. And I'm like, oh, way to not take responsibility for anything, Mom. But, you know, when Michelle Obama, that was one of her big platforms, was to change school lunch standards. And I think in a lot of places that worked, but they got a lot, there was a lot of blowback in more conservative areas. And they were also finding that a lot of the kids were just throwing away the healthier food. They just didn't want it.
I know. The waste has just got to be tremendous.
My kids would call it, and we like Michelle Obama, but they would call it Michelle's lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Oh, really?
I mean, that's because, I guess it wasn't
that
super.
That is frustrating.
Isn't it, though?
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods can make it a little less stressful with their incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, including yourself. You guys, I just ordered what looks to be one of the funnest games I might have ever seen. It's called Blabby, and you get to make up words. Like, I can make Manilow a verb in this game, and you know how much I love my wordplay. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, many located right here in the U.S. And with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. We have no doubt that you'll find the perfect gift for everybody on your list. And right now, you can get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/PCPS. That's uncommongoods.com/PCPS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Are you feeling overwhelmed by all of those hormonal changes Gen X women are going through? Just because those changes are from natural processes doesn't mean we have to suffer through them. And that's why Kristen, Michelle, and I love Hormone Harmony. It's a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. The three of us have noticed improved sleep quality, gut health, and even our moods have improved. The science-backed herbal extracts in Hormone Harmony called adaptogens help the body adapt to all those hormonal changes that cause those life-disrupting symptoms, like hot flashes and night sweats, bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony, with one of the biggest benefits mentioned being, I feel like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today.
So among this highly caloric and highly processed food, everyone had their favorites and their least favorites, their favorite hot lunch. Some people took their cold lunch every day, but then got money for hot lunch when they saw you'd get your lunch calendar, right? And you'd see what was going to be on the calendar. And then you'd take your money to buy a ticket for hot lunch. So do you guys remember what your favorites were?
The canned ravioli.
I hated the smell of that.
I know the smell. It's like pukey smelling.
The smell is like, it's like, is it ravioli or is it vomit?
It's that, like,
one is it?
You know how like Parmesan cheese can sometimes smell great, but it can also sometimes smell pukey? It was like that.
Totally.
Yeah. It was the, I
so bad.
That.
It's good.
Oh man. I loved that canned ravioli. It was like crack. It was meat ravioli.
I would.
And it had, would serve it with like a piece of bread, like a baguette. It wasn't a baguette, like Italian bread, with like a half an inch of butter on it. And I,
that's the best part.
You'll remember.
That's the best
taking
part.
Taking that buttery baguette and mopping up that ravioli sauce. Oh my God.
And the spaghetti in the same category. Yes. The spaghetti was very hamburger centric. It was really more like sloppy Joe on top of noodles. But I'm still, to this day, I'm chasing that school spaghetti taste. I could go to the best Italian restaurant in the world and I'd be like, it was okay.
Right.
Or just because it's not sloppy Joe.
Well, it is.
I need hamburger spaghetti. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
It was always very watery.
Yeah. They'd pool in the divot.
Yeah.
Like when you were done with the noodles, there'd be
water.
Yeah. Like they didn't drain them.
It was not al dente pasta.
No, it was not. It was el smusho.
Boiled spaghetti. Yeah.
For me, the things I would definitely circle on my school lunch calendar, which was kind of a joke to get because, it, you know, only like twice a month I would buy hot lunch. But it was definitely the soft, warm hamburgers, and they were like wrapped in like a foil thing. But I can still smell them. The patty is, I don't even know if it's a meat patty.
It's sorghum.
Right.
But it's sorghum just, burger. they were all pre-wrapped. They were they were so soft.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys, tater tots. Anytime tater tots was a side dish, I don't care what the main dish was, I would buy whatever they served with them, and I would probably tell my mom, no, I love the creamed turkey on, you know, whatever. And I would just eat the tater tots.
Pauline, give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No.
I still love tater tots. I mean, and I think Michelle knows, she's told me great places to get tater tots. And I almost have the exact wording that you just said about you would buy anything when tater tots were the side. I would do the same, except when it was the potato wedge. Do you remember? It was like a triangle potato that was like a hash brown. It was almost like the McDonald's hash brown, but they were triangles. And we called them potato wedges. Huh. And oh my gosh, that was what I would not skip. I bought lunch every time that was one of the sides was the potato
so
wedges.
Good.
Like I didn't care what else was being served on there. Potato wedges and tater tots.
So
fried potatoes, but not French fries because those were smushy and wet. We never had crunchy French fries. They were just like limp.
Always.
Appendages.
They were undercooked. Yeah. They were undercooked. They were never cooked crispy.
They would sit on a steam table. That's why. They'd keep them hot on the steam table, not under like
steamed fries.
They were got steamy. That's why everything was like, that's why the burgers were
French steamed
gray. But that just reminded me that in my high school, you could buy things off the hot lunch line sort of a la carte, like on the down low, like you weren't supposed to, but the lunch ladies would do it. And I remember buying like a styrofoam cup of tater tots. Like I'd forgotten all about that.
Just the tots.
Just tots.
I do that
just
today.
Just the tots.
I'm going to open a restaurant called Just the Tots.
Just the tots.
I just decided.
And I sat there with my purple mohawk eating my tots, feeling like the coolest badass. Yep.
Okay, my least favorite was definitely turkey a la king. I think a lot of the hot lunch was just like, if you had mashed potatoes and you had some stringy meat and you had some gravy, you have a hot lunch. And so turkey a la king, I think, also included like some peas and carrots maybe. And I didn't get it. And when I was reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the White Witch is offering the kids Turkish Delight. And I didn't know, I thought Turkish Delight was turkey a la king. I thought it was the same thing. And she's using the Turkish Delight to lure the children into Narnia. And I'm like, I don't understand why this is a draw.
Awesome.
Like, why do they want to go to Narnia for the turkey a la king?
That's like,
I don't understand.
Also, you guys, things like turkey a la king for school lunch, those aren't lunch to me. That's like dinner. Some of the lunches were like,
full on like old people dinner, like the dinners they would serve at like the nursing home.
And then the kids would be like nodding out like methadone, like afterwards and all that.
That's right. I hope there are lots of Narnia readers out there. They're lost right now.
When I was a kid, I didn't know the difference between the word Gentile and genital. Like I thought they were this. And my grandfather used to refer to, like, because we were Jewish, like non-Jews as the Gentiles. And I would be like, oh, wait, I thought he was called Gentile. Genital. I was like, Grandpa, what are you doing?
Don't call people genitals. Well, of course, we had to ask our society members on social media about their favorite hot lunch. And I want to ask you three, what do you think came in first place?
I just think pizza.
It's got to be the rectangle pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got to be, right? Wrong. Yeah. It's not. It was high. It was very close. But you guys,
okay.
You know what got the most love? And I think we will all agree that this it's well deserved. The school lunch hot rolls.
What's I don't that? Even know what that is.
The hot rolls that would come like on the side, like say you, it was like chicken something, you
oh,
would
like
get a hot
dinner roll?
Like a dinner roll, like the hot rolls.
Oh, like
yeah.
We could have included sides. Oh, okay.
People had feelings about the
feelings.
Rolls.
Everybody, it was the most mentioned. Oh. Second, coming up a close second, was the little carton of chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the school lunch hot rolls, people have memories and feelings. And then yes, pizza Fridays, pizza, whatever, square pizza. Yeah. And I love so many people mentioned always with corn. Why corn?
Corn.
Why
corn?
Why pizza and corn?
Yes. Because it was cheap.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's after cheap. We just heard mm-hmm. what Erica shared and everything.
You know why it was pizza on Friday?
No.
Because of Catholics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because of Lent. Yeah.
Lent.
When I tell you about my cold lunch.
It's not even Lent. Like if you were a Catholic, you didn't eat meat on
Friday. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pizza was Friday. Or fish. But yeah.
Right.
Okay. Fish sticks. I remember getting fish sticks a lot in March. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And that must be a Catholic
because of Lent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys, thank you so much for your very enthusiastic response to our school lunch crowdsourcing. I just couldn't possibly get everything down, but things that were mentioned more than a big handful of times were burritos, English muffin pizzas. Now, that was something we made at home a lot.
We made that at home. Yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of people got them in school lunch, which is lovely. Beefaroni, but the person who said that called it barfaroni, but however said she actually loved the barfaroni.
I liked barfaroni. I liked it.
Tacos. That was another one I did like.
I did like taco day. And the little squeezed tube of sour cream.
We never had tacos.
I didn't have sour cream. You know what? I wouldn't have eaten sour cream as a kid, though.
I never even heard of a burrito until probably I was like well into high school. Like, I feel like
there were only tacos. Yeah, we didn't have burritos either.
We only had hard tacos, like the old El Paso taco in a box.
Yeah, that's all we had.
That's what we had in school. Okay. Mac and cheese, tater tots, Carolyn. Sloppy Joe's, mashed potatoes, gravy, and a roll. The roll came up a lot. Mm-hmm. Kate reminded us of the hot lunch cinnamon rolls that serve for dessert. Do you guys remember those?
No.
The
no,
cinnamon
I didn't
rolls?
Get
and
those.
Several people mentioned this too, that they always seem to be served with chili or spaghetti. Always. And it's true.
Well, that's
it was like, if it was like chili day, we were going to have, and I Husker Du'd me a lot. I was like, what? I totally remember that.
Nope.
Chris says their Monday hot lunch was always the Fonz. It was Sloppy Joe on half a bun with shredded lettuce and cheese, probably left over from Sloppy Joe Thursdays. How Gen X can you get? She said.
I love that they think it's not a Sloppy Joe. Like, that's just a Sloppy Joe without a top.
But it's I have the questions, Fonz. Chris. One, why did they call that the Fonz? And two, if you're going to call a school lunch the Fonz, shouldn't it have been served on Tuesdays instead of Mondays?
Right. I was just going to say.
Right?
At 8 o'clock.
That's right.
You guys, too
Seven
many.
7 Central Time.
Too many of you out there, too many of you liked the runny beef over mashed potatoes. And it was
liked
really
it?
Only and it was really only like three of you. And that's too many. That's too,
yeah,
many,
that's
people.
Too many people.
Did you ask people what their most despised thing was?
No, we just said your most memorable.
Oh, memorable. Okay.
I think it'd be chow mein.
Oh, I liked the chow mein.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't like stringy meat.
It had a lot of celery in it, though.
Like, yeah, you got to pick that out and shove it to the side of your divot.
Celery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our Instagram follower, Carolyn, remembers something called a flying saucer. It was fried bologna topped with a dollop of mashed potatoes and covered with melted American cheese. And then, Instagram follower Melissa chimed in to Carolyn. Yes, yes, that in her school, they had them too, and they were called potato boats. So I think we're going back to regional school.
Very regional. I wonder that, like, because like in, where is that? Like St. Louis, that whole like fried bologna thing? That's like a...
Is that a St. Louis thing?
I think it's a like lower Midwest thing.
Okay. And then many people mentioned, now, and those of you who have been longtime listeners, or have at least listened to the four episodes that I've probably mentioned this on, you're going to know why I even have a hard time mentioning it. Many of you like the school's Thanksgiving lunch, which is turkey gravy and pie. And if you know anything about me, you know I have, I'm having terrible flashbacks just reading that because I barfed that exact lunch in the school library in fourth grade while I was my first week as a new student.
Oh. On carpet, which I'm sorry, I just can't get over. Barfing on the carpet was the worst. Yeah,
and then they would bring out like that barrel of that stuff that like...
We talked about it.
Like those,
right? This smells kind of like bananas.
Like the sod, and it sort of smelled like bananas.
When you smelled that anywhere in the school, like, oh, watch where you're stepping. And it was just sitting on the ground.
I forgot it was in a barrel. Like you rolled the barrel.
Custodian would come and sprinkle it.
So gross.
It's awful.
Well, not everyone got hot lunch, of course. Some people took their lunch from home. Do you guys remember? Were you guys hot lunch people or cold lunch people?
Both.
Cold.
I was both, too. I did special days. I was mostly cold, and I would circle the special days on the calendar. What was in your cold lunch? What did you bring from home?
For me, it was always a sandwich. It was like always peanut butter and jelly. But you guys, weirdly, as a picky eater, I went through a big Thuringer phase in like fifth and sixth grade.
What?
It's like a salami. Thuringer. It's like almost like
I've
a cured meat.
Word.
Like a,
Is that a brand or a kind of meat?
No, isn't it a kind of meat? Thuringer?
It sounds like a brand name.
Look it up. It's
I've heard of the
brand. No, it's not. It's a type of
like
you could go to the deli and get like instead of salami, like hard salami, you could get Thuringer instead. Almost no, it's not Braunschweiger. I can't
ask
stand
the Google about that.
I can't stand.
Yeah
look
I've
it up. It's called Thuringer.
When I was pregnant, I was craving a bologna sandwich on white bread with mayo, and I think that is a flashback to cold lunch.
Yeah, that's the classic Gen X lunch.
It is. That's the classic Gen X lunch.
Bologna on white bread with mayo. If my mom gave me like something hot in a thermos, that was like super, or soup, that was
soup.
Like,
I would do chicken noodle soup.
But only when I was like little. As I got older, she gave up on that. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But like, like a sandwich or, I don't even know. But then there was like this point where like I went on Weight Watchers in like seventh grade.
Oh, God.
And I remember bringing cottage cheese for lunch.
Because that's diet food.
Yeah. Right.
Cottage cheese. But like for some reason, like we didn't have like containers. Like she didn't want me bringing like Tupperware to school in case I threw it away. So I took like a styrofoam coffee cup, filled it with cottage cheese, and then like put foil over it. And I remember sitting at the lunch table eating that. And my friends are like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, I'm on Weight Watchers.
Was there a canned pear in there too?
Yeah, probably.
A canned pear on top. That's your fruit.
There's probably like saccharin sprinkled on it.
Yeah.
Sweet and low.
I had an apple also in my lunch every day, and it went directly in the garbage.
Yeah, because it was always mushy, because they were terrible Macintosh apples in the 70s. They stuck.
Or like a Red Delicious. A Red Delicious. And my mom would also always put a napkin in the lunch, and that pissed me off. I was like, I don't need a napkin. No one uses a napkin.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I
like,
had
just
to
throw
use
it
a napkin
in the garbage.
Because I had Cheetos every single cold
what?
Lunch I had from like first grade to when I took up to college. It was the same lunch. It was a ham and cheese sandwich, Cheetos, and a Little Debbie Star Crunch.
Wow.
Which was
that
like,
is a kick-ass lunch, Carolyn.
You had good
except
parents.
Fridays.
No kidding.
Yeah, except it was, I mean, the same thing every time. Except, again, on Fridays, because I was Catholic. So during Lent, we actually ate meat the rest of the time on Fridays. But it was just a cheese sandwich.
Oh,
so it was the exact same lunch,
ham.
Just minus the ham. just cheese.
On white bread.
I need to share one of our Instagram followers. Christy commented and she said, hoping someone else also carried in their lunches these little individually wrapped apple cinnamon soft cookie cake things. The wrappers were green. They were so delicious and my mom packed one every day. But we cannot for the life of us remember or find the brand or name of them. We know they were not Grandma's, Pepperidge, or Almost Home. Anyone? It's been haunting me for years. So if you know what Christy's talking about, the little apple cinnamon soft cookie cake thing in a green wrapper, send us a DM on Instagram or an email or something, because this has been, you know, you could solve Christy's lifelong question.
Okay, listeners, it's on you. We're waiting. Okay, so I would say far more important than what was in your cold lunch was... what was your cold lunch in?
Okay. So when we asked our followers on social media about their lunchboxes growing up, as you can imagine, the response was huge. And when we started researching, it turns out there is a lot of history surrounding that little tin lunchbox. We found so much good stuff, you know, as we do. So the truth is, there's way too much lunchbox talk to fit into this episode. We seriously got enough good lunchbox scoop that we are going to devote an entire episode just to lunchboxes. And we're saving that episode to bring to you this fall at back to school time. So stay tuned for Charlie's Angels, Holly Hobby, Happy Days, and all the different ways we got our lunches to school. Coming to you in the fall of 2023. Yeah.
I invite all of you listeners to make yourself a bologna sandwich on white bread with Miracle Whip, or maybe some pizza on a rectangular baking sheet, and then you cut that pizza in a big rectangle, and when your kids are like, what's with this giant rectangle of pizza, you just start singing, memories, let the corners of
and then
my
you give
mind.
Them some corn.
Yeah, with a side Make of sure. corn.
Serve it with corn.
A side of corn for your pizza. Oh my goodness. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Erica, for joining us today.
Oh, thank
can you,
you
tell us where people can find you?
Oh, of course. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at Funny People Making Food. Also on YouTube, you can find the full length episodes of the show plus YouTube shorts. I'm also on TikTok. Same thing. Funny People Making Food. And now I also have a Substack newsletter. Woo! That you can subscribe for free, or you can pay. You can cough up a few bucks a month because you get extra bonus video content if you pay on Substack. And you can find me on Substack at Funny People Making Food. But this Substack newsletter is actually called the Chef Smarty Pants Academy because I am Chef Smarty Pants, and it's like a teaching newsletter and video. So yeah, all of those places, or right here in downtown Brooklyn if you happen to be in New York. You know, give me a call. We'll hang out. Also, you might occasionally see me in commercials for things like menopause drugs or retirement planning for Gen X.
Oh, God, yeah. I love it so much.
And actually, if you follow me, my personal Instagram, which is Erica S. Wides, ErikaSWides. My commercial reel is pinned on that, so you can see all of those.
I just watched it.
That's so awesome.
It's so fun.
I'm going to look for that right after this, Erica.
Great.
Oh, thanks.
And I want all of our listeners to know, don't worry about having to write all that down and remember it that Erica just told you. It'll all be in our show notes. Uh-huh. And so we'll have links to all of your social accounts, and we'll put that in our weekly reader as well.
And I just have to say, like, I love you guys, and I love the podcast so much. And you crack me up and you make me cry. And I wish I lived in Minneapolis so we could hang out because, like, you are my people.
And oh, Erica.
Back at you.
So I'm going to find a reason to come to Minneapolis and we're going to hang out.
Yes, please do that.
Or something better. I think I was just about, I think the better idea is that we should find a reason to go to New York City, ladies.
Sure, okay. I'll do
you
that.
You should
Let's
come
do that.
Here yes. and we mm-hmm. will shoot a video in my beautiful kitchen of like, oh we'll make God. Like school lunch yes. classics or something.
We'll make barf
oh my God, gosh. Please.
No,
we'll
you know what you can make?
I've seen that you can make off. Like hostess yes. cupcakes and stuff
Whatever
like that.
Whatever you want, we'll do it.
Okay.
Some ding dong.
That would be so fun. That would be so fun.
It would be great.
That would be a blast.
Great. So, like I told you guys, are all those links to Erica's fun social media and her Substack newsletter will be in our newsletter. So in this week's weekly reader, we'll send you all of that plus some links to some of the things we talked about in today's episode. And you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting our website, poppreservationists.com, or you can
You can find it in our Instagram, our Linktree link in our Instagram bio.
We might even send you a little Chris Farley and Adam Sandler in Lunch Ladyland, too.
Sloppy Joe, sloppy Joe, sloppy Joe.
And if you like what you hear, and we always hope you do, please subscribe to the podcast where you listen and click the stars, leave a review. It only takes a minute. And you guys, it is tremendously helpful to us. We would also, as always, like to give a supersized thank you to our supporters on Patreon who honestly keep this whole thing trucking. And today we are giving a high five to Diane, Jill, Sean, Kathleen, Mark, Angie, Joanne, MP, and Erica.
Erica.
And yes, Erica. This Erica is you because you are such a wonderful supporter on Patreon. So thank you so much.
I'm happy to do it. You know, I give to NPR and I give to you guys, you know.
Oh my gosh.
That's like wow. My job. Our work here is done.
I know. I'm hanging it up right
Our
now.
Our work here is never done.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast. First to Erica.
Thank you, guys.
Erica,
thanks so much. So much fun.
And from the cast of, and courtesy of, shit, man.
I could do it.
It's been a long one. It's been a long one. Erica, why don't you do it?
In the meantime, let's raise a glass. I can't do it.
Let's raise a glass to the, something about the Regal Beagle.
courtesy of our friends.
Laverne and Shirley at Little House on the Prairie.
That's so not it.
No.
We've been drinking.
What's in your glass there, Erica?
To the love boat.
Like, water.
To Alice.
Okay. Oh.
No, we never say Alice. Don't confuse her anymore.
Carol always goes, everybody. And Little House on the Prairie. Like she's going to cry.
Yeah, like she's going to cry.
Okay, let's
for real
do it for
this
real.
Time. All right. In the meantime, let's raise a glass. God damn it.
Our
In
glasses.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. First to our friend Erica Wides. Woohoo! Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers. We did it.
Cheers. Oh my God, we did it. Wrap this little sucker up.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there's always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
Love and it will keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy